Welcome to the Juvenile Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help students trying to break into the creative industry by sharing stories of other students that have done the same.
Today, we have Ryan LaShock, an upcoming senior at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Last year, Ryan worked as the president of Midnight Oil, an agency in his school's American Advertising Federation chapter, and he will continue to do this next year.
Also, he is doing a lot of work with content and film creation.
Specifically, he's a content creator in the TikTok and YouTube spaces, the CEO of Elevated Media, a media production company, and much more.
So, without further ado, let's welcome Ryan LaShock.
Ryan LaShock, welcome to the Juvenile Podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
So, we know you're a big creator in the film media. Also, we know that you do some content creation work. And we also know that you have your own company, right? So there's, I think there's a lot to talk about in this episode. But to start off, can you tell us a little bit about how you started becoming involved with film production?
Yeah, I guess the earliest I ever started doing film production would be on like some old cameras that my parents had. I was always like recording stuff and they would always put it in my hands. So that's like the early, early years. But the real stuff started probably junior year of high school. My high school was good. They had an actual video production class, sort of. So I got a lot of practice there and actual experience doing it, you know, like time set up to actually like work on projects and stuff, which really helped out a lot. And in college, just blew that up and grew it as much as I could.
So then was anyone in your family involved in film production if they were the ones that put the camera in your hand?
That's really funny. No, nobody was really in film production or photography, but my dad just like loves photography, and his dad was into photography with thousands of photos. Like, I'm combing through so many family VHS and videotapes right now and trying to digitize them. So they were just always interested in it as a hobby, never as a job. And I think it passed on to me, but more so as a job.
So with all of the movies that you have created and been a part of, what has been your favorite movie to have as a filming process?
Yeah, it's tough because there are multiple projects that I've been on. Some have not been mine and some have been mine. So I want to be careful which one I pick as my favorite. But I honestly think the one that I did most recently as a short film for myself for a YouTube channel, it's called Bodies of Water, which I'm sure you probably had questions about. But it's my favorite because it's the one film I look at and I really don't have that many changes that I would make to it. I don't think I really have any changes at all that I would make to it. And it was so technical and so out there because we were filming on the water with thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Never had done that before. And I'm telling my actors to like get dirty and mud all over themselves. So it was a whole learning experience, but I think the final result came out great, and it's my favorite project because of that.
And what was the process to create this film, like the production process for Bodies of Water, right? How big of a production was that for you, you know, relatively compared to everything else you've done, and how hard was it?
Yeah, so Bodies of Water was a little bit different of a casting process for this one because I already went into it knowing really who my actors and actresses were going to be. I had worked with these people before on different projects, and I found them because they're theater majors at the University of Illinois, which is where I go. Like a year ago, for a different film, I had sent out an email to the head of the theater department at the school, and they just blasted this casting call out everywhere. And I was really blessed that they were so down and eager to be in short films. So I've been using them ever since.
Have you ever had any other actors that were super interested in being a part of your movies, or was it mostly those two? They're like, this is my thing. This is my jam. I'm so pumped and excited.
Yeah, I think I'm always getting requests from people to be in the video productions. And I tend to write films with less amount of people in it, you know, maybe 1 to 3 max. So it's always really difficult to filter out the people who I'm going to use in it. It's really a challenging process to get through, is like making sure you make that right decision of who's going to play that role, because it really determines how everything's going to turn out.
Right. And we also know that you have your own, you started your own media production company. Can you tell us a little bit about the company itself and how it came about?
Yes. So Elevated Media is my video production company. It started junior year of high school, and it originally started for commercial drone productions, which is kind of funny because it's grown to be much more than that. But it started because I wanted a drone, and this is when they were first coming out. So I asked my dad if he'd be willing to like go in on this with me. And he said, well, what are you going to use it for? And I was like, well, you know, to take images, to take video. But he actually came up with the idea of, well, why don't you do it for like real estate? Or why don't you do this for properties that are for sale? So that's where the business came from, is being able to sell that footage commercially and still be like accountable for liability and those things. And then from there, just took it to make short films, to do social media, all that kind of work.
So how did you end up starting to self-promote yourself, especially in the beginning when no one really knew what Elevated Media was?
Yeah, so it's interesting when you're very small how you promote yourself. But my advantage was that I was small. I was a student, a high school student at that time. So when I was cold calling these properties on Vrbo, Airbnb, or different real estate agents, I was saying like, you know, what is, get me a quote and I will half that because I am a student and I am young, but like I will still deliver high quality because I have the equipment to do it. So my pitch was using, you know, that youngness for me to just be like, you know, take a chance. I'm going to get you something great and I'll come in way less than you would with someone else.
So you were taking a much smaller cut, kind of just trying to get yourself out there.
Right. But for me, the small cut was a huge cut because like the amount of money people will pay for videos is quite crazy. So I was very happy with whatever I got.
Especially it was a great way to get your foot in the door as well. So why not do it?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So what would you say to somebody who is trying to kind of start their own media company like that? What would you recommend to somebody who, you know, just likes filmmaking and likes working with media? What would you say to them to get to a place where they can, you know, start actually making money?
Yeah, the biggest thing is to be able to know like advertising and business concepts, because I think as video people, like we're very focused on like filmmaking or things like that, like making things as cinematic or like the best writing and everything like that. When in reality, like for a business, you are filling a need. So like for the real estate stuff, you know, we were trying to like make their listings stand out on those websites. You know, people could look at a video instead of just scrolling through photos. So it's finding where you fit in for them. And it's really an emphasis on like commercials and advertising instead of, you know, maybe something more fun, like dramatic narratives or short films or things like that. You can get to that eventually, but just to grow and scale, you have to think about where you fit in and what the audience can like gain from using your video skills.
So what are some of the resources that you use other than your drone, especially when you were starting off, and how has that developed now?
Yeah, a lot of the early stuff was with the drone. It was a DJI Phantom 3 Advanced, which is not the highest end model, but it'll get you good looking videos. I also bought a Canon camera. It was a DSLR. It's the Canon 60 Mark II. And then aside from that, I would use my phone for a lot of things. And back then I just had an iPhone X. So I would literally put that on. I had a like small phone gimbal, like a DJI Osmo, like one, and like would walk around people's houses or their properties with that. And like it, you can't tell sometimes, especially an iPhone with those wide open shots and there's good lighting. It's pretty indistinguishable. So those are some of the physical resources. I'm also a big Final Cut Pro user. I think that it's a better investment just because you don't have to subscribe to a huge plan monthly. And aside from that, there are always so many great resources online. Like I'm completely self-taught off of YouTube videos, you know, going into my high school class for video production. I already had the skills that they were teaching, so I was able to just use that as time to practice and to really focus that time on building skills instead of learning them fresh.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's YouTube is a huge place for learning. I mean, everything in the world you can find there.
Yes, YouTube is a great resource.
I feel like a lot of people especially learn Adobe through it, with it being a lot of different signs to learn and new things. So the different programs and the actual setup that you're using, would you recommend that students that are starting off or are college students, high school students use the same things? Or are there things that you wish you would have done differently?
No, I definitely think when you're starting, it's just use what you have around you already, because things are going to get expensive really quickly. It's like known for being one of the most expensive hobbies. So it's really think about what the equipment you have around you and what you can do with that. You know, there are going to be a lot of things that are popular or are trending, or you know, you watch a film and you're like, oh, I want to do that shot. But you got to think about what you can do and have the equipment to do, and really frame everything around that. Like before I had the drone, I had my phone. So what can you do with a phone? You know, you can make home videos, you can make things that aren't supposed to be like very well produced, but you know, maybe that's better for something that's funny. You know, maybe it's like a skit or something like that. Like social media, TikTok now, it's not so much an emphasis on being super well produced and high quality, but it's those real authentic moments or that narrative that you can put forward. It's really story first.
Yeah, I think I like that. I like that. I really like that. I think it's true that a lot of people get caught up in, you know, the fancy technology or the fancy shots, everything, CGI, all that stuff, right? I think, you know, you got to bring it back to the basics sometimes and focus on the storytelling part of it.
So with being an advertising major, but making your own movies, what are the ways that you promote yourself now, and how has that changed from when you were promoting yourself before when you were starting?
Yeah.
Especially because now you're making movies instead of making them for someone.
Right. Well, I think one of the biggest realizations that I've ever had is learning, like, how is the audience going to find your content? You know, like one of the biggest things I always think about is like, why would you kind of like make something for people if they're never going to see it? So like learning for me how to do, like just learn the social media algorithms and how people like find things, like putting descriptions and keywords in your titles, everything that's involved in that really like opened my mind to like how things are searched and found. So like before, I'll give you an example before, and I still know a lot of people do this. If you made a film, like 2-minute film, and it was called like The Intruder, then like what I would do is I'd make the film and then I'd upload it on YouTube, and the title would be The Intruder, and then the description would be like a short film I made. And that's it. I'd like upload it. And I was like, why am I only getting 17 views? Like, this is such a good film. But then once you have that realization of how is the audience going to find it, then like, I totally overhauled my channel and I went back and went, okay, nobody knows what The Intruder is, but they do know like horror short film or sci-fi short film, student filmmaking, or whatever, you know, whatever like general keywords that people are going to be searching, and then The Intruder at the end. So it's more so about how people are going to find that film. You know, if they're in the mood for a horror short film, they're going to type in horror short film. So putting those words to match with your video instead of just your title. And that's where I think the advertising education really came in.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's good. You've taken advantage of the algorithm, right?
Right.
And we wanted to ask you, we know that a few months ago you were part of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign Film Festival as a participant and a technical director. Can you talk about how creating this festival worked and how you included your work into this festival?
Sure. The Student Film Festival at U of I is actually a class. It's one of the media and cinema studies classes. And it's an elective. So when you join the class, it's usually only like 7 people, but this year it was 40, which had some challenges on its own. but you get in the class and it's half education and half preparing for this in-person film festival. So you learn about a whole bunch of film festivals, like different ones around the world, and how they work and how they operate and how they program their actual films. And then you use all that information to put on the U of I one. And, you know, everybody's assigned a role based on what they're interested in. And we open up submissions and we do the best marketing that we can. We work with the university and they provide really great resources, like the screening space that we had at the Spurlock Museum. And I submitted a whole bunch of my films and a whole bunch of them made it, which was really great. And I was not part of the selection process at all. We had a group doing selections and I didn't want to influence that at all. So we had probably 40, 45 submissions and we took, I think, 15 or 16, somewhere around there.
So do you have any last words then that you want to mention to end off this podcast?
Yeah, I would say the most important thing that I was ever told, two things are, like, just keep creating. I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons why I made a YouTube channel or a business in the first place, was to keep me in that constant process of creating, because when you're creating, you're learning. I mean, you're going to have so many like failures and like moments where you're like, I have no idea how to do this. And that's really where you learn the most. And the second thing is really just like to focus on how is your audience going to find your content? Because that was like one of the biggest changes that I realized. And it really changed the way that I approach social media and how I made content for social media. And I think that had the biggest influence on my numbers to date, is really just thinking about what do people want to see and how are they going to find it.
Well, thank you for meeting with us today, Ryan. We hope you have a great rest of your summer and continue doing a lot of the amazing film work that you've been doing this past school year and all your career.
Great. Thank you so much.
If you like what you heard, check out our parent company's Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod for more info on our guests and more content. That's at Breaking and Entering Pod.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time in the Juvenile Podcast.